Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase on this gorgeous Wednesday afternoon here in Middle Tennessee. Hope everybody's having a great day thus far. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you live here at Hawkins Field on the campus of Vanderbilt. Directly to our left is the football stadium. They'll be hosting Kentucky Saturday night under the lights. Across the street behind us, Memorial Gymnasium. The women started their season last night with a victory. Jerry Stackhouse and the boys will kick off their season, although they won't be kicking. They'll be tipping off.
Yeah, kicking's usually a penalty.
Yeah.
Not good.
It's not good. Not in basketball. They'll be tipping off their season tonight, so against Alabama State. All right, let's head down to New Orleans. Let's find out a little bit more about the opponent that will be at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. He's the play-by-play man for the Saints. He's Mike Haas. He now joins us. Mike, good afternoon. How you doing?
I am doing fine. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. A little bit of a surprise with what happened last week with the loss at home to the Falcons. But tell you what, the week prior, if they could just play the Bucs more on their schedule, man, the Saints would, you know, probably go in as the number one seed every year in the playoffs. I mean, they have just absolutely owned Tampa. What is that, six straight?
Yeah, six straight in the regular season. Unfortunately, it is the playoff loss that they will talk about. The Saints had swept Atlanta last year as well, so they have done very well in recent years with the NFC South. And I think if you looked at and told fans, okay, there's no midpoint until halftime of our game Sunday. That's the midpoint of the season. But through eight games, you'd be 5-3. I think they would all say, yeah. And then if you showed them how you got to 5-3, they'd go, well, that's not possible. So it's just been a very challenging year, from Hurricane to Jameis to just about everything.
Yeah, so what does – let's just go there, Mike. Then what does the injury to Jameis Winston mean? You know, obviously he's lost for the season. We know Drew Brees. We're watching him on Sunday nights. He's retired. You know, they went with Trevor Siemian last week, but you've got Taysom Hill. I mean, the rest of the way, in your opinion, how do you think the quarterback game is going to get played out?
I don't – nobody knows.
Everybody wants to know that, right?
I think what we have to go by is history. When Drew got hurt in 2019, Teddy Bridgewater came in, and he was a system quarterback, and he knew the system, and he won five straight games. When Drew gets hurt, Taysom came in for four games, went 3-1. And Trevor's been with this team for a little while, had a pretty good training camp. He's not a rookie. I think it's just about who gives you the best chance to kind of run the offense efficiently. And right now, I feel like it's Trevor, because if you play Taysom, Trevor just goes over to the sideline. This juncture, you play Trevor, you've still got this ability to use Taysom. And more so as a quarterback than ever before. He was never a quarterback. He was always just a guy who would run the ball, who could throw. Well, this past training camp, he got half the reps. He's more of a true quarterback now. And we saw it Sunday. He didn't just go in for a play and go right back out, and it was a run. He stayed in for a couple plays, threw some passes. And most people said, if you'd have kept him in, maybe Trevor doesn't fumble and the game ends like that. So I think you're going to see what we have seen last week with Atlanta. I think you'll see a heavy dose of Trevor, and Taysom as quarterback and also as more of his, you know, Superman role. Just hard to tell. I say that, and part of me says, oh, yeah, Taysom will start. I mean, it's just, that's kind of, you know, where it is. They haven't had practice yet today, so we haven't really talked to Coach about it. Not that he's going to, you know, unleash a huge amount of information about it. I think it's going to be Trevor again, and much a similar situation than it was Atlanta, because you really, there's not much you can lay on Trevor in that loss.
Yeah, it's interesting when you think about your coach, Sean Payton, you think about their offense and what he brings to the table, but really this team is about their defense, right, this year. I mean, their defense is really the strength of the team.
We've never, you know, as I'm looking through the rankings, it's something that we're just not used to. Yards per game passing, 31st in the league, 20-plus explosive plays, 32nd in the league. Points per game, which is better now, but it used to be terrible. Yards per game. I was like, wait a minute. This is, you know, we're accustomed to 31, 32 points a game. So you're right. This defense, conversely, if you flip it all, the best in the league stopping the run as far as averages are concerned, best in the defensive red zone. They have 11 interceptions. Now, I think the problem has been a little bit that they've been good probably for the last two or three years, but when you have Drew, you're a little overshadowed. But you're right, it's been this defense that has kept them in the game, and the only games that they've lost that most fans would say they should have won were games where the defense got little to no pressure on the quarterback, Giants, Atlanta. They got no pressure, and when you give those guys time, they're going to beat you.
Talking to Mike Haas, the voice of the Saints here with us on Darren Donick and Chase, and a guy that obviously we watched a lot in his college career at the University of Tennessee, Marquez Callaway, the wide receiver. What have you seen out of him, especially this year? I mean, obviously he's improved from his rookie year, but definitely looked a little more flashy early on. Some modest numbers, but the four touchdowns have certainly helped. But what have you seen in his development?
I think he's developed great. I think this is a guy who had not caught a touchdown pass until this season. So when you look at the beginning of the season, he was going to be the number two to Mike Thomas. All right, perfect. He, you know, ready for that role. And then he became Mike Thomas and really no supporting cast. And so it's been a struggle. He's got 22 receptions, four touchdowns. And I think he's exactly where this team wants him. But just so much more has been asked of him. And it's for his second year. I mean, he's an, you know, undrafted free agent and was kind of just getting some playing time. And now all of a sudden he puts on number one and he's the guy. Well, it takes a little time. And he really hasn't had a lot of help other than Deontay Harris, who's really been the best kind of receiver and offensive player they've had beyond and besides Alvin Kamara.
Do you view Callaway as a true number one moving forward, even, you know, it just as time goes on?
I think so. I do. I think he can be. I just think they just asked too much of him too early to go out and just be the guy. But I do. I mean, from what I have seen, he's got the size. He's got the speed. You know, he's had issues catching the ball, just like every person on the Saints team has had. So, but yeah, I do. And if you could give him some more help on one side beyond Deontay, I mean, they've got Traquan and Kenny Stills and Kevin White, and nobody knows Mike Thomas's future. But I do, I do. They've got a nice little Tennessee connection, and I do see he was a very favorite target of Jameis. I mean, Jameis loved him, and so yeah, I do. I do see him as a strong number one moving forward.
You mentioned Alvin Kamara, and you know he's a major part of the offense for sure. But Mark Ingram comes back for his reunion tour with the Saints, and you know at this point I don't really know what's left. But what do you think is left in the tank for him?
I think more so than I thought, and believe me, we've been through some tank people. We had Devontae Freeman with us for a while, a couple of others kind of in and out. We have Lamar Miller with us. Tony Jones got hurt, so. I do. I think he's about to break the all-time Saints rushing record, which will unfortunately come at the expense of my play-by-play booth mate, color analyst Deuce McAllister, and it'll probably happen this week. But Mark is an emotional guy, and he has got the size to where he can do a lot of the things that maybe Taysom Hill was doing. You can run power right with Mark. He can take the snap and run the kind of wildcat. So he brings something to the table that the Saints really kind of needed, and that's beyond his relationship with Alvin, which is unbelievable. But Mark just brings a lot of fire. He runs angrily, and he's been, I think, an exceptional pickup. And as you know, like everybody else in the world, I sit here watching TweetDeck waiting to see what's going to happen with Odell Beckham. It feels like a lottery. And so we're all just, watching, but and I don't really feel like the Saints will get him, but you never know. Local kid wanting to come home, you just never know. So they need weapons. What this team lacks is weapons. If you're on the defense, you go, okay, we'll just cover Kamara and Callaway, and we should be good.
Well, and I feel like if that were to happen, Sean Payton is the right type of coach to make that work. Would you agree?
With Odell?
Yeah,
I do. I mean, because the other teams are going at it with, hey, wouldn't you like to catch passes from Aaron Rodgers? And they're going from the quarterback standpoint. And first off, who knows where Aaron Rodgers is going to be next year? The Saints are going with it. You're going to be the guy. You're going to catch the balls. And I think that's, knowing what I know, that's what Odell Beckham wants to hear. I don't care who the quarterback is. I want to be the guy. And on this offense, at this juncture, he'd be the guy. Clearly the guy.
No doubt about that. Mike, appreciate the time. We'll see how it all shakes out with the quarterback and everything this weekend here in Nashville against the Titans. But appreciate the time today.
Look forward to it. You guys playing good football, and we will see you Sunday.
Absolutely. He is Mike Haas, the voice of the New Orleans Saints, the Titans' opponent, coming up this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. You're going to hear from head coach Mike Vrabel in this hour. We'll have much more on the Tennessee Titans when we come back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Thanks to Mike Haas, Saints play-by-play man, for joining us. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel here coming up shortly. If you would like to go see the Wallflowers at Brooklyn Bowl on Saturday, November 20th, that's 10 days from now, be caller 6 at 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Be caller 6. Lucky caller 6 will win a pair of tickets to Wallflowers at Brooklyn Bowl on Saturday, November 20th. It pays to listen to Darren, Donick, and Chase. What a gorgeous day here on this Wednesday. We'll have Chris Mason from Dallas coming up at 1 o'clock. Get back into Predator Stars discussion at 1 o'clock. But this hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Titans and the Saints. I did read, it's only Bruce Arians, right? When asked today at practice, are the Bucs interested in Odell Beckham? He said, I'm here to confirm that the Bucs are not interested in Odell Beckham Jr. No, this is quote, no, we've already got AB. We don't need OBJ. That's too many letters. Spoken in true Bruce
that
Arians
is such
fashion.
Did he follow it up by baby? But I thought he was all about no risk it, no biscuit. Yeah. I'm convinced.
That would be a little ridiculous, though, wouldn't it?
They don't.
They got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin.
Antonio Brown.
Gronk.
When healthy. Yeah, but I mean, I would say that's a long shot. Now,
Howard, don't forget OJ Howard.
Yeah,
I mean they have a plenty of options.
Yeah, now Green Bay, okay, Green Bay could be possible, but I asked my cost.
Do they have a clear cut two
in Green Bay?
Yeah,
no.
Clear cut.
I don't think.
I mean, I think from week to week, you've got, it could be Randall Cobb. It could be
The Cobb at this point in his career. He's not
Lazard, but not really. Lazard's not the two. Who else? Who am I missing as the two? I mean, they don't have a clear – the question was clear cut. The answer is no, they do not have a clear cut.
And I think Rodgers is the right kind of quarterback person that could, you know, keep it in check like it needs to be kept with OBJ. Yeah, I asked Mike Haas, I said, you know, I feel like that if that's a move that gets made, Sean Payton is the right guy. You know, that Sean Payton's not going to let any funny business go on. And, you know, I think we'd both agree with that. And that's what you're going to need with OBJ. You're going to need that kind of either the leader in the locker room or the head coach, you know, can't put up with that, the sort of stuff that, you know, he will bring to the table sometimes.
Do you know who has the easiest schedule the rest of the way in the NFL?
The Titans?
Is that your guess?
I'm thinking. I mean, theirs is...
Well, don't think anymore. It is the Titans.
Yeah.
The Titans have the easiest schedule in the NFL the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, because they got two against the Texans. They have the Jags.
Dolphins. 49ers.
Yeah. And then Saints, which are, I mean, the Saints probably the hardest game of that stretch. Yeah,
Patriots.
Well, yeah.
Steelers.
Patriots. Yeah, those two. Pittsburgh, at New England, at Pittsburgh.
But still, they have the easiest schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah. Well, do something with it.
I mean, congratulations, by the way, just so you can stop calling. Scott McWhorter was lucky caller 6. Scott, thanks for listening to the show. And go enjoy that show at Brooklyn Bowl in 10 days. Yeah, I mean, you still have to win. For some people, it gets them nervous when they think, you know, oh, no, Titans always play to the level of competition. Well, okay, but would you rather the rest of the season be at Tampa Bay, at Green Bay, Dallas at home?
Yeah.
I mean, do you want that? You want Murderers Row the rest of the way so they can play up to the level of competition, or would you rather have two against the Texans, a Jags game at home, Miami, who's awful here, 49ers, who look, I mean, I don't think anybody could see that coming, right? The 49ers this year, they just look awful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be interesting.
Like, that was kind of the way, I mean, to me, it wasn't like I wasn't sold on Arizona, but it is interesting.
That's gone the opposite of what I thought it would, because I thought same.
No Kyler Murray, no A.J. Green, no DeAndre Hopkins, and Chase Edmonds gets hurt in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And you go shred San Francisco at their place with that? Yeah. That's their starting quarterback, their top two receivers, and their starting running back.
Colt McCoy and James Conner.
James Conner, Colt McCoy, and I guess they were throwing to Christian Kirk. And
yeah, he had a nice game,
Captain
too.
Kirk and
Mr. Spock.
Mr. Spock. I don't know who they were throwing to.
Yeah, but
– did Zach Ertz do anything? Did he factor in at all?
That I'm not sure.
Because I mean, they absolutely – so San Francisco, it says more to me about the 49ers, like, wow.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think
you're
Shanahan,
that bad.
I don't think Shanahan's in trouble yet, because I think he's still a very good coach.
It reminds me a little bit of Dan Mullen. Like it's not now.
Yeah.
But be careful. Like you can't keep doing this. Like you're going to have to pull out of this. I think both are going to survive, but both are going to go into next season with
pressure.
Yeah.
And John Lynch is going to have it too, because, you know, he's the one that is the GM and decided you're going to keep Jimmy G, which I get the contract played, but I'm sure there were some offers or you could have maybe worked something. But you keep Jimmy G, you draft Trey Lance. That's not a mouse.
Oh.
That's why.
Okay.
You draft Trey Lance, so you got to hope that this works. That whatever your vision is as the GM, that it's going to work long term, and this is just you're dealing with injuries again, and Jimmy G's just not that good, and so when you cut Jimmy G, which they're going to do, after this year and you go to Trey Lance, you got to hope, okay, he's the right guy and Shanahan can make him be the right guy.
You know what's interesting is Aaron Rodgers went back on McAfee's show.
Apparently he does this every
Tuesday. I guess it's a weekly. Yeah. So, but he went back on, yes, it was a weekly. So, it was, again, just his weekly time. Well, if it's every Tuesday, then why did that news not break? Why did that not become a huge story till later in the week? It was blowing up later
in
the week.
Well, it was, yeah, but
it wasn't on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was.
Was it last week on Tuesday?
Yeah.
When everything went chaos?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was later in the week. Anyway, he went on to say, like, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm not going to win the MVP because now, you know, nobody likes me.
Right.
You know, boo-hoo. But here's what's interesting. Pushing that aside, I think Aaron Rodgers is I don't think there's any truth to that whatsoever. And I'll tell you why. Think about it. I always talk about elite players, you know, what they mean, especially at the quarterback position. You know they're elite. Whenever they're not in there, the team crumbles or isn't the same. Like they cannot sustain the same level. Like it just goes to show you how, look at Seattle.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, Russell Wilson's back there. Hey, we're going to go get an Odell Beckham Jr. We should be fine. We'll just run the table, and hey, we should get in the playoffs. Russell Wilson's back, right? It's like, okay, everything's fine. We got him back.
Right.
We should start winning games again. And now let's go get OBJ. And man, look at how about that wide receiving core. Aaron Rodgers, we've seen it. There is tons of proof, and it's not just Jordan Love. It's years past. What did Green Bay look like Sunday in Kansas City without Aaron Rodgers?
Like poo.
They were awful. They couldn't even score points. They finally scored late in the game.
And that's with Devontae Adams.
If Aaron Rodgers is in there, I said this yesterday with Tim Hasselbeck, Green Bay wins that game easy.
Yep.
Easy.
No doubt.
With Aaron Rodgers.
Going away.
At Kansas City. Easy. They could barely score without Aaron Rodgers. To me, it's another example of when Aaron Rodgers is in there, they're a juggernaut. When he's not in there, Kansas City's biggest weakness is what?
Defense.
What are they the worst at? Defense.
Yep.
And Green Bay couldn't do anything
yep.
against an awful defense. Nothing. Once again, proving life without Aaron Rodgers is really, really bad in Green Bay. And I'm just giving one game examples here. And I'm not saying, because you know how I feel about Kyler Murray. I've been beating that Kyler Murray drum for years. I get him every year in fantasy. I think he's legit. But Colt McCoy stepped in, and they didn't miss a beat.
Hook him.
And they didn't have their top two receivers. And their top running back went out in the first quarter, and they didn't miss a beat. Now, I'm not saying scrap Kyler Murray because of that. I'm saying Aaron Rodgers, look at Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. Albeit these are one-game samples. Derrick Henry, Lord knows how this show feels about 22. We were beating the MVP drum for weeks. Titans go to the Rams and shred them. Now, it wasn't because of the offense. It was because of the defense. That's why they won the game. But the Titans didn't have their best player, and they went to LA and beat the Rams. Arizona didn't have their best player, and then you could say players,
yep.
and beat the 49ers on the road. Green Bay didn't have their best player, and they look like a below-average team against an average team on Sunday. Are you telling me that doesn't state a strong case for Aaron Rodgers for MVP?
Oh, no doubt. And, in fact, I just pulled the odds up. I actually think they went up with him out or got better with him out for MVP.
That's my whole point. Yeah. That's why I'm bringing this up. I agree.
He and Dak are tied.
I'm saying I disagree with what he said. You know, like, nobody's going to vote for me because now nobody likes me. Well, I disagree.
If you're voting for the award the way you're supposed to vote for the award of that it's the most valuable player, then he's fine.
Well, if that vote includes how you feel about that person, then, yeah, he's not going to win.
Right.
But the last time I checked, this is about the player on the field, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
I mean, I understand it's a human element. And
that's the problem I have with some of these awards. It is a popularity contest sometimes. And he may be right to an extent that there are going to be people that don't vote for him because they don't like him. And they don't agree with what he did. But if you have a vote for MVP and you are given that opportunity, to me, you have to consider the on-the-field stuff and only the on-the-field stuff. And that's why – it's why, like, I have an issue with guys getting kept out of the Hall of Fame just because they're jerks or they, you know, how they handle
things. I agree. Because it's not about them being jerks.
Like,
unless you say, hey – what they're like as a human being counts towards our Hall of Fame. If you say that in your description of your Hall of Fame players, and hey, it's also about how they are as a human being, mm-hmm. that's fine. But last time I don't remember that being part of the criteria of how you get into their hall of what kind of human being.
You know what my argument will always be to that? If somebody says that it should hurt you, then okay, kick OJ out. Go get his bus and take him out. If that's how you feel, if you're going to prevent...
Well, is Ty Cobb in there?
Yeah. Then go get...
Well,
I was going to say,
no, you're not leaving him.
Take him out.
Okay. You're not leaving him in there. I mean, come on.
I mean, the Bucks just took Gruden out of the Ring of Honor, which they'll end up putting him back, but they took him out of the Ring of Honor.
Just right. It's optics for now.
WWE took Hulk Hogan out of their Hall of Fame and then 3 years later put him back.
Here are the MVP, the true MVP candidates. I don't think we're not going to see this play out, I don't think.
I'll give you their odds.
But Tom Brady is a true MVP candidate because if Tom Brady doesn't play, the Bucks don't win.
Yep. Tied for the lead.
Guess who joins the Derrick Henry and Kyler Murray camp? Guess who also joins them? Your boy. Dak.
Yep.
Because guess what Dallas did without Dak?
They won.
They went to Minnesota on Sunday Night Football and beat the Vikings with Cooper Rush.
Yep.
So
he's plus 900.
Put him in the pile with Kyler Murray and Derrick Henry. Aaron Rodgers, we've proven Green Bay can't win without him.
Also plus 900.
I don't believe the Bucs can win without Tom Brady. I don't know if we're going to see that because he's always available. But the Bucs don't win without Tom Brady. Who else? Give me another candidate.
Well, the favorites are Josh Allen and Tom Brady at plus 350. And I think Josh Allen right now is too high.
Josh Allen is not the MVP. Sorry.
Matt Stafford is
Josh Allen just went to Jacksonville against the 32nd ranked defense in the league, and their offense put up 6 points and lost. Like, Josh Allen, give me a break. That's ridiculous.
You know who's creeping into the conversation, which is interesting? Still 40-1 is Tannehill. He's tied with Derek Carr at 40-1. What about Justin Herbert? 16-1.
Nope.
Lamar.
Lamar, take him out of Baltimore, toast.
11-1.
They're toast.
They
don't win without Lamar
Jackson.
Said
Kyler. Kyler's plus 500. I mean, yeah. You've made the point here. I mean, if you're going by that, the true candidates should be Brady and Rodgers.
Because I think those are and Lamar. I think you could throw him in there, right?
Yep. I mean, everybody else, you know, Mahomes is now plus 6,600. He hadn't been great. Yeah. I'd agree with you on that.
So I don't agree with Aaron Rodgers when he says, oh, nobody's going to vote for me. No, actually, I think your stock went up.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think his odds got better.
It's why you hold all the cards in Green Bay. That's why you have the power that you do, because they know what life with you and life without you looks like. and that's why you hold all the cards. So even with all the stuff, if they kept winning when he wasn't available, he would already be gone. They would have already figured out a way to rid themselves of Aaron Rodgers. But the fact is, they can't do anything without Aaron Rodgers. If they don't have Aaron Rodgers, they're not relevant. Sorry, Matt LaFleur. I think you're a really nice guy. I think you've done a fantastic job
with Aaron Rodgers.
But when Aaron Rodgers leaves, I worry about your future because yeah. I think it's going to look pretty average or below average without Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. That's already been proven.
Invest those checks is what I would say.
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, once again, I root for Matt LaFleur. I think he's a really good guy, and I'm glad he got his chance. I didn't think he was going to get his chance. I thought it was a little too soon. He's made the most of it. They've been really good, but it's been really good with arguably the best quarterback in the league, best player in the league. Mm-hmm. It's like Bruce Arians. Like nobody, Bruce Arians vaulted to all of a sudden, like, you know, oh my gosh, he's so good.
Well,
when Tom Brady came. Like, were you saying that with Jameis Winston? No.
No, but he did win Coach of the Year that year that he took over the Colts for a year. I mean, he's well respected. But he coached 1 year with Jameis. He did a really good job in Arizona.
But his star got a whole lot brighter with Tom Brady.
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl. But BA did a good job before Tom
is
Brady.
If Tom Brady never goes to Tampa, is Bruce Arians in good standing in Tampa right now? No pressure, no hot seat, no everything's good?
Who's his quarterback?
I don't know. But would it look the same? Do you think there's a chance that Tampa is probably an average to below average team?
Who's his quarterback? I don't know who his quarterback is. Yeah, Brady's on a different level.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Brady took him to a different level.
Your boy.
Yeah, probably not. But, I mean, he had Carson Palmer and did a good job in Arizona. So, I mean, I'm not slighting. Yes, he went to a different level, a different hemisphere with Tom Brady, but I'm also not slighting Bruce Arians. I think Bruce Arians has always been a really good coach.
We'll come back. Should be able to hear what Mike Vrabel had to say today addressing the media as they get prepared for the Saints on Sunday. We'll hear from the head coach on the other side as you listen to Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Saints come to town on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Can the Titans keep this rolling? What a four-week span it has been. We've talked about it all week. No team in NFL history. They're the fourth team in NFL history to do that. Four consecutive weeks versus playoff teams from the previous year and going 4-0. All the three other teams that did the same exact thing the Titans did, they all went to the Super Bowl, and twice they won it, one of them lost. So two wins in the Super Bowl, two Super Bowl victories, a loss in the Super Bowl, and now the Titans are the fourth team to do that in NFL history. Can they keep that run going to the Super Bowl? Well, the next challenge is the Saints. Mike Vrabel today spoke. Here's what he had to say.
What's the challenge in preparing for the Saints when you're not maybe sure exactly which quarterback? Do you prepare for both Simeon and Taysom Hill? And does knowing Trevor at all from last year help?
Well, I mean, I think we have familiarity with Trevor, obviously. You know, he did a great job when he was here for us and the role that he had. You know, I think it always is a challenge every week to prepare for the next opponents. Certainly one that we don't have a ton of familiarity with. we'll have to be prepared for Taysom Hill, for Trevor. You know, obviously they've they really got into a rhythm. They put Taysom in there the other day, hit some chunk plays, and then went back to Trevor and really got moving there in the second half.
Mike, that Saints defense, what challenges do they present for you guys?
Well, I think they just have really good, players. I think they're sound. I think, the scheme is obviously good. But they, they're long on the edges. Davenport, Jordan, stout and explosive inside. I think their backers are active. I think I've always had a ton of respect for DeMario Davis and what he's able to do and all, really in the run game, his ability to cover and also – he's a really good blitzer. you know, does a nice job with them. You know, Quan, and then obviously, you know, Werner rotating in there, getting some secondary guys, you know, with Roby, obviously Lattimore, Jenkins, Williams. They have really good players in all three levels of their defense. And the rush, you know, helps the coverage. The coverage, you know, they play different coverages. They play multiple coverages, and then obviously that'll help out the rush.
With the way I'm asking this question for Terry, so I had to shift gears. Sorry. Do you need to make sure you stay out of obvious passing downs against this defense? I mean, they've been so good against the run.
Yep. Yep, you're doing a great job for Terry, just like he would say. You nailed the impersonation. That would be the goal all the time, no matter who we were playing, just to stay balanced and stay ahead of the chains and being good on first down. You know, those are tough situations playing the game and second and long and then third and long. You just, you know, some of these guys in this league, it's hard to protect them. You know, and you just run out of plays and time to get them off. So the more that we can stay, you know, efficient, you know, whether we throw it or whether we run it, but that would be a huge key every week, is just being efficient on early downs.
You talked about resiliency throughout your time. It seems like you guys are maybe at your peak of that now. Just how valuable is that to have as a hallmark quality?
Yeah, man, I think just having, you know, in life, you know what I mean? Life is, you know, things always come up. Everybody deals with things, and what is a struggle to one person is, you know, maybe not so much for the next person, but everybody's dealing with something. And I think that's a good lesson in life, carries over to the football field, that things aren't always going to be great. They're going to be mistakes. You're going to have some adversity along the way. And hopefully that with a team and a group and what we believe in and what we preach and what we practice, you know, you can carry that through, that there's not a panic level. You know, we had, you know, basically four double-digit drives against the Rams defensively that ended in 9 points. I think that's a good example of that, of not panicking. And, you know, don't want to sit here and recap the Rams game, but I think going forward it's like, okay, we can settle down, not panic, play well in the red zone, get a turnover, get a fourth down stop, whatever it may be. So, you know, we've had lots of situations here, and they keep fighting and battling and finding a way.
With your group, it seems like, you know, both sides of the ball, they understand that we may not have a good game, so we have to pick up. Where does that, like, where is that rooted? Because it seems like that's kind of...
Well, I mean, I think I felt, you know, they feed off each other. I think that they're close. I mean, you practice against each other from the time that we come to training camp. And so they're around each other a lot. You know, some guys are going to be closer than others, but I don't ever hear any complaining as far as, you know, they got to do this, they have to do that, kind of just figure out what needs to be done in all three phases and go out and try to do it.
Good to get the process going with Christian return to practice. How happy have you been with the guys who've kind of, you rotate a lot of different guys in there, how they've done as a group?
Yeah, we'll see what Christian looks like this week. This is a good thing to be able to get out on the practice field, do some stuff, get with coaches, get around his teammates, you know, do individual drills and, you know, evaluate him as the week goes along. You know, and then guys have stepped up and improved and, you know, done a nice job for us. So and everybody that we can get back would be great.
What kind of progress have you seen from Dez Fitzpatrick on the practice squad?
Yeah, there's a, you know, some momentum there. You know, last, I guess it wasn't the Rams week. It would have been the Colts week. He was show team player of the week on offense and on special teams. And so that's a 2-for-1 spesh, and those are hard to come by. And I think that's something that we have to continue to take advantage of and try to find roles for him and have him keep working like everybody else that's either on our roster or on our practice squad. And that's, you know, that's our challenge.
Do you feel like there's a need? I mean, you released Reynolds. Is there a need to replace a wide receiver, or are you more likely, you think, to fill that position with, you know, maybe a different spot?
Well, I mean, I think when you practice late in the year, you're always going to need, you know, legs. You need linemen. You know, guys are banged up. So, you know, I would imagine that, you know, we'll have the legs that we need, and we'll see where we're at on the roster.
How hard is it to find a quarterback at this time of the year, and what do you know about Kevin Hogan?
Well, you know, he's playing a lot of systems. You know, I think that he'll be able to grasp what we're doing fairly quickly, you know, in case that his services were needed. And, it's probably hard late in the year to try to find guys. He's played in this league and been in there meeting with Pat, and so hopefully – you know, he'll have a grasp by the end of the week that if we need him, you know, he'll be available.
Talk Sunday about being able to marry some of the coaches with the consistent pressure now, like Kevin did, I guess. Is there danger to the one time you don't get the pressure, getting beat over the top? How do you measure that out?
Yeah, I mean, there's danger. There's danger all around, you know. It's just being able to be calculated, I think, understanding what's going on. That play happened to be a quick game. Quarterback pretty much had declared. But, you know, I think just some of those plays down the field, I guess, is what I was, you know, referencing that, you know, we just can't we all have to be smart, do our jobs, and then understand when you have the ability to go make a play, you know, go make one.
You think those chances there are more frequent chances to get the pressure's been as consistent?
Well, yeah, that'll always be. I think that the pressure on the quarterback, the ability to affect the quarterback, will always be something that will help you. No different than, you know, getting a guy in a pocket in the end zone and him, you know, throwing it to us.
At this point in the season, how impressed are you with the overall growth, progress of this team, especially considering the adversity you've faced with injuries and setbacks?
Well, I think the challenge now is to continue to improve without, you know, maybe some of the full speed stuff that we've had in the past earlier in the season. And we talked about the details and being able to and focus on those when you can't focus maybe on, you know, stuff that you're doing physically for guys that may not practice until Friday. You know, we've had a few of those guys the last couple weeks, and so the challenge is to find a way to improve without doing it physically. And so that comes down to details. Impressed, I mean, we all have a job to do, so you know that's my focus, is making sure that I do my job and that everybody else does as well.
Is the coordination with a pass rush, in the sense of if one guy wins and flushes the quarterback, you know, there's someone there where the quarterback is going, and how difficult is that to achieve?
Well, I think that first starts with who the quarterback is, Luke. And so some quarterbacks you may be a little less inclined to have coordination. And then other ones that we've played, certainly that's at a premium. And every week is a new week. Coach Williams, Coach Crow, obviously Shane, everybody involved, they come up with a plan, you know, and they try to, you know, teach it to the pass rushers, whether it's a third down or a 2-minute situation, whatever it may be, and then the guys have to go out and execute it. So I think the first part of your question is based on the quarterback, you know, and then obviously how they run it, you know, using the game example with Jeff. The mistake that's commonly made is he rounds it off, would have too much space in between him and the tackle as he came around. The tackle would then be able to give some ground to get a hand on him and run him by the quarterback. Jeff wrapped tight, tackle couldn't come back, make the pass off. So, you know, those are the struggles that we face offensively, you know, trying to stop those games, and when they're run properly, correctly, with good players, it's sometimes can be a challenge.
Lead the league in the number of players who've played games this year by a decent margin. What's it say, I guess, about either the scheme?
You think we do or we do?
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah. What's that say about, I guess, either the schemes or the players that, you know, still able to have success with a number of different players rotating through here?
You know, a lot of it is about the guys that are on the practice squad understanding that when they come in each week that they, you know, should be expected to play in the game. Will they play in the game? I'm not sure. But if they come in with that mindset that I'm going to play, then they prepare. They understand. They stay engaged in the meetings. They may not get as many reps, and frankly, they may not get any at all. You know, and that's the challenge of being ready to go. They have to maybe get their reps on the show team and get their improvement that way. You know, I feel like we try to coach the guys that come in as quickly as we can, extra meetings, you know, and then, you know, find out what they know and what they're comfortable doing.
Like how Deontay kind of attacked his job coming back in here last week, and did he potentially earn more opportunities about having success?
Yeah, and we have to all, you know, do a better job and continue drive so that we can complement our offense. But Deontay, you know, has been with us, is now with us again. You know, we'll see, you know, how many opportunities he gets, but I don't think he did anything to diminish his role, you know, but hopefully we can, you know, get into some drives where some plays can complement each other against an excellent defense.
Mike, what's the biggest challenge in replacing or surviving and prospering without, you know, your key player, Derek, in this case?
Got to play better and coach better and, you know, figure out a way to move the football, figure out a way to convert on third down, score touchdowns in the red zone, you know, block better.
Do you think it matters as you move forward here for one guy in that backfield to emerge and get the bulk or more carries than the other two?
I don't know that yet. I don't, you know, just I don't think the body of work was enough. You know, I don't think we did enough offensively to really determine that. I'm not sure how that's going to play out.
But even like philosophically, the idea of, you know, running backs getting in rhythm and, you know, one running back being
well,
able to.
Well, I mean, the Saints run it really well, and they have Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. So there's a lot of ways to do it. You know, we've done it differently, you know, where we had one guy, obviously, who that guy was. But we'll kind of see here as we progress into the second week with having, you know, some new faces there.
Is there anything in particular you want to clean up about the run game this week, especially on those first and second down runs?
Offensively?
Yes.
Yeah, just try to block better and try to, you know, everybody, you know. The message to them is when we don't block, whether that's as a receiver or tight end, running back or O-line in protection, you know, people have the possibility of getting hurt. You know, I mean, it's, when you don't block well, somebody can get hurt in this league. You know, the defenders are physical, they're powerful, they're angry, and so we have to block better. I think starting there, and then trying to again get these running backs some speed behind the line. You know, that was the challenge last week, is getting here, and then they're ready to go. The guys that maybe are blocking for them aren't quite ready to go to be able to give them some full speed reps in practice.
What went wrong with Josh?
I don't know if anything went wrong. I just, you know, kind of just didn't work out, you know. And so we have to focus on the guys that are here, focus on the Saints, and keep working.
There you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel talking about this week in preparation for the game against the Saints. We'll talk about it a little bit more in the fourth and final hour, but we'll come back and start it by heading down to Dallas. We'll talk to C-Mace, our weekly chat with him, Predators and Stars, tonight as you listen to the DDC right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.